If you have the Bible with you, open to Luke chapter 6 as we continue in our study of the Gospel of Luke. David, I thought you were going to preach my message there when you got to Psalm 51. And it's just amazing. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. The Lord has brought this whole thing together for today. We know King David in 2 Samuel chapter 11, when he sinned with Bathsheba, seeing a woman, and he lusts after her, and finds out that she is pregnant. What happens? He tries to get the husband to go home to her, but instead the loyal husband, Uriah, says no. He's faithful to God, to his king, to his country, and he won't go back to his wife at that stage. And so David panics and says, because she's pregnant, what am I going to do? He says to his general, put Uriah on the front line knowing that he's going to be killed. So we get to the next chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 12, and we see Nathan coming to visit. Nathan, the prophet, comes to visit King David. And he tells him a story. In the story he says there's a rich man, he's got all kinds of flocks and herds, and he's so wealthy. And then he's got a neighbor who's a man who just has one little ewe lamb, but he loves it, and he cares for it. And he even when he goes to bed at night, it comes and sleeps in the bed with him. He's so in love with this little ewe lamb. He says, but you know what? When that rich man who has all these flocks and herds, when a guest comes, instead of slaughtering one of his own flock, he goes next door and he takes this man's one little ewe lamb and he kills it for his friend to entertain him. And the king stands up and says to Nathan, show me the man! Off with his head! And Nathan says to King David, you're the man. You're that man. Today we're looking at the world's most popular Bible verse. Judge not. How quick we can come to judge. But notice we say the world's most popular verse, because if you ask anybody in the world, what does the Bible say? The quickest one they'll jump to is, don't judge me. Don't judge me. And what we mean by that is, don't tell me that I'm wrong. Is this what Jesus is really saying? Let's pray. Father, help us to understand your word. By your Holy Spirit, teach us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 6, and beginning at verse 37. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? The disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be just like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck that is in your brother's eye. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to us this morning. Remember when we began here in chapter 6, in the middle of chapter 6, Jesus chooses 12 men, regular dudes, ordinary guys, and we said he chose them. Why? To replace the religious system that was in place that was absolutely hypocritical. And he deliberately chose these guys to shame those who thought they were so wise, because they had totally ruined and destroyed what God originally intended with the Old Testament, with the Old Covenant. And it became man-made humanistic laws. And these Pharisees, who called themselves the separate ones, would wear a mask on their face. He called them hypocrites, and he was going to unmask false religion. The word hypocrite that we have in English comes from the Greek word hypokritis. Remember? Hypokritis. That's where we get the word hypocrite. And the idea, it is a word used for an actor in a play, a play actor. When you look at theater, you have the two masks, the smiley face and the frowny face, right? The comedy, the tragedy, the hero, the villain. And so what happened in those days, people who acted on a stage would wear different masks, as we even see in Shakespeare's day. And people would wear a mask, and there'd be one person. The same actor would come with a different mask and pretend to be someone else, kind of like watching Days of Your Life. You know, this week, so-and-so will be portrayed by this person because they changed it. So there's a mask on different faces. And so Jesus came to unmask false religion for what it truly was. Don't be a hypocrite like the Pharisees. Remember Luke chapter 18, when the Pharisee and the tax collector went into a temple. What happened? The Pharisee stood up and said, "Oh God, I thank you that I'm not a bad, dirty, rotten, scumbag sinner like this tax collector. Thank you that I fast twice a week and I tithe all my income, blah, 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 yada, yada. What a good boy am I." Then he has the little tax collector beating on his chest, not even looking up to heaven, but saying, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And Jesus said, guess who was justified? Not that hypocritical Pharisee, but that repentant tax collector. And that blew the minds of the people, because they always thought it was those Pharisees. They were the holy ones. They were so pious and religious. And Jesus said, no, they were judgmental, condemning, self-righteous. You don't be like that. And that's the theme of this chapter. As he chooses these 12 disciples, and now as he looks, or 12 apostles, and he looks at his disciples, group of his followers, his learners who are following him, and he says to them, there's Beatitudes. He said, remember in verse 20, he looked at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor in spirit. Blessed are you who hunger for and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are you who weep now, who mourn over your sin. And blessed are you when people hate you and revile you." Why? Because of me. You're going to have enemies because of me. But you're blessed. And then he comes to verse 27 and he says, "He who hears, listen to this. Love your enemies." That's the theme. That's the context that Jesus is talking to. What we're going to see here is that we spoke about a few weeks ago, we have the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, which is three chapters long, which takes us, we said, about 12 minutes to read through. Now we have the sermon here in chapter 6, it's only in one chapter. We said Matthew's was an extremely condensed version because Jesus didn't preach for 12 minutes. Neither am I going to, just heads up. Jesus didn't preach for 12 minutes. Jesus literally would preach for hours. So it was a condensed version. Now Luke has even a more condensed version. John tells us at the end of his gospel that Jesus did so much and said so much, taught so much, and did so many miracles that if we wrote them all down, the world would not be able to contain all of it. So when we look at Matthew's gospel and we look at Luke's gospel, they're actually saying the same thing but differently. Because it's a lot of information that they've taken from Jesus. And we're going to see in Matthew's gospel, Jesus just says, "Judge not." He doesn't say, "Don't condemn." He doesn't say, "Forgive." He doesn't say, "Give" in this context. So Matthew and Luke are actually talking in two different parts of Jesus' 2-hour, 3-hour, whatever long sermon. Let's have a look at what Luke has to say. He says, "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Now, the original word that is used here where it says "will be put" is doosin. The word means "they will put." If you've got the old King James Version on your lap, you will see it says "they will put." The more modern translations often have gone and changed it from "they" to just be "will put" or "be put." Lucy's translation just puts a line and says "be put." But the word is they. Because a lot of people are trying to make this one match up to what Matthew said. But remember, this is a broad sermon what Jesus is talking about. The judgment that's going to come is not from God. The condemnation that's going to come, if you're condemning, is not from God. It's they will put who? The enemies that you love. The context is loving your enemies. And the little word that helps us to understand it is deosa. They will respond in the same way that you respond to them. This is the law of the world. It's the law of tit for tat, generally speaking. When you act a certain way to someone, they're going to respond in the same way. But if you act towards them with judgment, don't think that the world's going to come back at you with love. You're going to push away. You're just going to bring judgment back to yourself. If you come with condemnation, you're just going to bring condemnation back to yourself. Jesus is saying to us, this is our attitude in evangelism. This is the way the church, his people, need to respond to the world out there. They will revile you. They will spurn you. They will exclude you. They will hate you because of me. So what you need to do is love your enemy. And your greatest enemy is not just someone that doesn't like you at school or at home or whatever the case, at work. He's actually the one who's the enemy of the gospel. If you look at the text here, the context here, we see last week Jesus tells us to love, to bless those, to pray, to give, to turn the other cheek, love, do good, lend. Then in verse 35 he says, love your enemies, do good, lend, expecting nothing. Why? Because great is your reward. You will be like the sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. We said last week, who were the unkind and the evil? It was us, before we knew Christ. We were enemies of Christ. And he was kind to us. He showed mercy and grace. And that's why we came into his kingdom. And then he says, so you now, be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. And then he goes into, so don't judge, don't condemn, forgive and give. This is your attitude you need to be, that you need to have. Now, do not judge is the world's favorite verse, because they think it says, you have no right to tell me that I'm wrong. Some people have even gone so far as to say that we shouldn't even have a judicial system. We shouldn't even have a police force, because you're not supposed to judge, you're not supposed to condemn. You can't tell me that I'm wrong. Could you imagine if that's what Jesus was saying? Of course that's not what Jesus is saying. Right. After this, for example, in Matthew 7, he says, don't give to dogs what is sacred, don't give to pigs, pearls to pigs. How can we discern who's a dog and who's a hog if we can't make any form of judgment? Right after that, he says, you need to watch out for false prophets and false teachers. How can we discern who's a false prophet and who's a true prophet if we can't make any form of judgment or assessment? Right here in Luke's gospel, next week he's going to talk about a tree and a fruit, and its fruit. Only a good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. How can you discern the difference if you're not supposed to make any form of assessment or judgment? Jesus is saying, don't not make a judgment. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, don't be judgmental. And there's a big, big difference. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 was a verse of the month last year, which says, all scripture is God-breathed and profitable. Profitable for what? For teaching. And for? Rebuking. Don't judge me. And for? Correcting. You know how to say I'm wrong? Of course not. That's what the Bible says. It is for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness. Of course we need to make an assessment, a judgment of where we are, where others are, and correct, and to train, and to rebuke with loving kindness. James chapter 5 verse 19 says, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, how do we know that? If we're not allowed to judge in any way. We have to make a judgment call. We have to make an assessment. They wander from the truth, and someone brings them back. Let them know that whoever brings a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. We're called to make those formal judgments, to see a brother in sin and say, hey, let me help you back. Galatians chapter 6 verse 1 says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual ought to restore them. We have a responsibility to one another in this world to be light in a dark world, to be the salt of the earth, to make certain judgments and assessments and to call people back. But what we must not do is be judgmental. The very next word, Jesus says, explains that. Do not condemn. Do not condemn, he says. Don't play God. God is the one who will be the ultimate judge and the one who will ultimately condemn sin. That's not your responsibility. But you can see sin for what it is, and you can bring people into the faith. Share the faith. Show them the truth. Bring correction. Train in righteousness. But don't condemn. Forgive, and it will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Again, this is the law of tit for tat. In other words, if you are going to go out there in the world and you see people acting a certain way, the worst thing you can do, particularly to enemies of Christ, particularly to non-Christians, is be judgmental and condemning. All you're going to do is push them away. And when you look at the world today, oftentimes they say that's the problem. We don't like the church, we don't like Christians, because they're judgmental and they're condemning. Now, if you haven't been judgmental and condemning, and they say that, that's a whole different story. But Jesus is saying, if you love your enemy, if you, as Paul says in Romans, when he says, what do you do to your enemy? Give them a cup of cold water. If they're hungry, feed them. You're heaping those coals on their heads. They sing, hold on a second. This guy is different. This guy is loving. This guy is merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. That becomes attractive. Judge not, condemn not, but be forgiving and give, Jesus says. And it will be given to you. They will respond in kind. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, that will put in your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, this is an idea of when someone is working with grain and they've got a basket. And in that basket, they pour the grain in, and then they would shake it, and they would twist it around twice like this, and it would go lower down, and they would pack it and press down and do some more, and then put more grain in until they could pack it up firmly. I do the same thing whenever I go out to the dump and I take out the trash. What I do, I sometimes put my foot in kind of, and I take all the air out of it, or I recycle it. We've got all of our cereal boxes and stuff like that, and they just throw them in. But then I go, hold on, we've got all this junk, and I tear them open and I compress them, so all the air goes out, so there's no air, there's no fluff, it's just compacted. So there's room for more. And Jesus is saying that. The same way you treat others, it's going to come back to you. Not air, not fake, not fluff, but the real deal. If you go there with air, hot air, pretend non-judgmental, pretend forgiveness, pretend love, all you're going to get back is pretend. But if you go in there with real, honest to goodness, love and forgiveness, and a non-condemning, non-judgmental attitude, that's going to come back to you. Love, bless, pray, turn the other cheek. Very often, though, what's called friendship evangelism. Jesus was called the friend of sinners. The Pharisees, the hypocrites, those judgmental ones, would go, this man welcomes sinners, and he even eats with them. Jesus is our example. Jesus got close to them. He didn't act like them. He didn't do what they did. But his purpose was to share the gospel with them. But the judgmental Pharisees stayed far away, just condemned, just judged. And Jesus says, there's a new system. Watch me, disciples. You're the ones I'm calling now to be different from these Pharisees. You're going to go, and you're going to go to them with non-judgment, non-condemning love. That's what you need to do. Watch me and follow my example. I'm your teacher. You're my disciple. Follow me. The thing is, when the world acts like the world, we shouldn't get shocked. When sinners act like sinners, we shouldn't go, oh, can you believe what they did? Because they're doing what they naturally do. Sinners sin. You know, we've got a cat. I was never a cat person. Growing up in a house, we just had dogs. But when I got married, I married a cat person. So we've got some dogs and a cat, right? And so one day we went to visit Lucy's parents and we had our cat with us. I said, let our cat go and visit Lucy's folks and see their pets as well. Bad mistake. And I walk in there, I've got old George, our cat, in my arms, and the dogs start coming through. And George goes, psh, and he puffs up. So, and actually he was on the ground, and he puffs up again. So I picked him up to protect him. And as the dog came around the corner, I went, whoo! What do you think George did? He went ballistic. And who does he scratch? The dog? No, moi. All over. And I let go of that cat, and I said, man, I don't care if that dog eats you up. Man, I was going to eat that dog myself, that cat myself. I was hopping mad. But what was happening? I tried to protect him, and he took it out on me. But I blamed my cat for acting like what? Like a cat. See? And once I got over myself, I could calm down and say, buddy, let me protect you before this dog does come and gobble you up. But that first moment, my knee-jerk reaction was, I don't care. And when the world acts like the world, sometimes our knee-jerk reaction was, you know what? Go to hell in a handbasket. I don't care. But when we come to our senses, we go, hold on a second. They're just acting like sinners. That's what sinners do. Lord, help me to love them. Not to judge them. Not to condemn them. But to forgive them. And to give myself to them. To help. And share the gospel with them. And if I can get over myself in that regard, I'm never going to truly love them, as Jesus said. Love your enemies. Verse, he said, but love your enemies, do good, lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great. You'll be like the sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and to the evil. Be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. In other words, what he did for you. Verse 39, Jesus said, and then he told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? What's the answer? Of course not. They'll both fall into a pit. And this is a picture of the Pharisees. Jesus was often calling the Pharisees blind guides. You blind Pharisees. They're blind because they were so religious, but so self-righteous, such hypocrites, that they were pushing sinners away. Jesus said, don't be that way to his disciples. No. As a disciple, as a learner, as a follower, I'm your teacher, and I'm not blind. My eyes are wide open. So follow me, and let me show you what kind of guide you need to be. Because what happens is a disciple makes disciples, who makes disciples, who makes disciples. And that's what's happened all the way since Jesus. And if we're blind and self-righteous, all we're going to do is create same people that we are. Jesus said, a disciple is not above his teacher. Everyone, when he's fully trained, will be just like his teacher. So if the teacher, if I had a gallon jug here full of dirty water and an empty gallon jug, and he has the teacher and he has the disciple, and I say, okay, I'm going to pour myself into the disciple, what's the disciple going to look like? Not above the teacher. It's not going to miraculously become clean water. It's going to stay that stinky, smelly, dirty water. And the Pharisees just create more Pharisees. He said to them, you cross over land and sea to the Pharisees, and you make people twice as much as sons of hell than you are. Because all you do is create more and more of a stink and a stench. But Jesus says, so don't be a blind guide. Don't be like those Pharisees. Verse 41. Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but you don't notice the log in your own eye? Answer, because we're blind. We don't see it because we're blind. Specifically blind to our own faults. The word for speck is karphos. Say karphos. I just said that to check if you're awake. The word for speck is karphos. It means twig. It means a splinter. It means a chip. Versus the word dokos, which is a log used here in the ESV, or plank. It literally means a joist or a rafter, a beam, which is the beam that holds up a whole roof. So he says, you notice the speck, the splinter in your brother's eye, but you miss the rafter that's protruding out of your face. It's actually this pretty humorous what Jesus is using here, but to show us the absolute hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the hypocrisy that we can often even have ourselves. I remember when I was, and give this for a second, let me just give you an example. Now, Alex, if you stand up for a second. Now, pretend Alex has got a splinter in his eye, all right? Now, for me to get close and to help him, the splinter out of his eye, I'm going to get really close. But now, this is not even a rafter. But could you imagine if this is protruding out of my eye? I look at Alex and I go, oh, Alex, you've got a splinter in your eye. Let me get it for you. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? I'm going to hurt him. I'm not going to help him. I'm going to knock his block off. Right? And so what happens is when Alex sees me coming, what's he going to do? He's going to run a mile. And that's what happened with the Pharisees. The everyday sinners said, I'm going to get away. I don't want to be around that person because all they're going to do is they're going to judge me, condemn me, and hurt me. There's no love. There's no mercy. There's no forgiveness. There's no real attitude to help. They think they're helping, but they're self-righteous. And Jesus says, take the plank out of your eye so you can see clearly, so that you can help them. Thanks, Alex. When I was in high school, a friend of mine took a handful of sawdust in wood shop from the shop vac bag. And he said, hey, Greg. Hey, Greg. And as I turned, obviously when you turn and someone calls you, what do? You go, hmm? You open your eyes. Like, hmm? Yep, yeah, whoop. Like that. And as I open my eyes, whoop, he goes, and he blows this sawdust into my eyes. Boom. Immediately I was blind. It was terrible. My other friend runs up and he grabs me and he goes to a faucet, to a tap, and he starts washing, helping me, and he rinses the stuff out of my eyes. And as he was helping me, he had to come really close to get it out because he wanted to help me and rinse it out. Unfortunately, not all of it could come out. I had to go to the optometrist that day. The optometrist sat in his little chair and he came really close and he opened up and he put these drops in my eyes and he had this like little tweezer thing because I had a splinter in my eye. And so he had to come up really close with the little machine in his face that I could not only smell his breath, I could feel the warmth of his breath on my face. That's how close you've got to get the splinter. Now here's the key. Notice what Jesus says. When he says, don't take it out of your eye, he says, verse 42, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself all the time do not see the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, you blind Pharisee. But then he says, first, take the log out of your eye so that you may see clearly to take the speck to help your brother. Jesus wants you to help. Jesus wants you to take the speck out of your brother's eye. But the thing is, you cannot help anyone if you've got a plank, a log, a rafter in your own eye. See? That's the purpose. He wants you to do that. Those are those passages we read where we said we need to help one another. We need to correct and rebuke and train in righteousness, but with loving kindness. It is so important to help, but not judgmentally, not condemningly, forgivingly and lovingly and carefully. Carefully. Galatians chapter 6 verse 1 says, brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression. Now, caught in a transgression or caught in sin, this word, this has been translated both ways. Caught in it, like an entangled in sin, and they need someone to help them come free. Or caught in the action of a sin. If any of you is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should go and restore him. What does the rest of the verse say? In a spirit of gentleness. Doesn't say stay away. Let him just spiral out of, get worse and worse and worse, and eventually leave the church and eventually leave the faith. No. You who are spiritual, meaning what? Who have said, okay, Lord, I've taken some time to check my own life first. I have the Holy Spirit in me who convicts me of sin, and I need to check my own life so that I can go and help somebody else. You are spiritual, the spirit of, restore them with the spirit of gentleness. And then it says, keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. The word there for keep watch on yourself literally means consider yourself. When you consider something, you're going to purchase something. You don't just go in and buy it. You consider it. You ponder on it. Ponder. Consider, where am I? Where's my heart in doing this? Is this sin true in my own life? Or watch myself that if I come with a spirit of judgmental attitude, that tomorrow when I fall into that same sin or another sin, and it's their turn to come back at me, tit for tat. If I went there with a spirit of loving forgiveness and gentleness, kindness, to correct and to help, if I didn't, you're most likely going to get what you gave. Jesus said, no, don't act that way. Remember King David and Nathan? He's slow to judgment and condemnation. David was quick to judge the guy in the story until he realized he was the guy in the story. All fingers are pointed back at him. Now did he say, cut his head off? Or did he say, show mercy, please, show mercy, kindness to others. The golden rule, we read about this last week, was do unto others as you wish that they would do unto you. Do unto others as you wish they would do unto you. Please, let's help one another with the specks in our eye. Let's share the gospel with a dying world out there. But do it with loving kindness, not with judgmentalism and condemnation. Restore them gently. Psalm 51, we read it in our 5x5. David, who said, off with his head, said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. Not a judgmental, condemning spirit, a right spirit that is right with you and right with others. Cast me not out of your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. That sounds like amazing grace. Sweet the sound of saved a wretch like me. You know that part about the joy I had in the hour I first believed? Restore to me the joy of your salvation, that I might not forget the wretch that I was saved from. And now would you make me or make me in Christ? So when I look at others, I don't forget that loving kindness you showed to me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me with your willing spirit. And then guess what the very next verse says? Then I will be able to teach transgressors your ways. David is saying exactly the same as what Jesus is saying here. If I have the right spirit and a renewed spirit and a right attitude, I will be able to teach transgressors your way. And sinners will return to you. So please, let's be like our teacher Jesus. His eyes were wide open. As we follow him as his disciples, not to be judgmental and condemning, because there's a world out there that needs Christ. Let's do it in the spirit of love, gentleness, and kindness. The devil... Man had a dream, in conclusion, that the devil was preaching a sermon. Man came to the devil and said, devil, I don't understand. Why are you preaching the gospel? And he said, oh boy, you don't understand. I preach it with a condemning, judgmental heart. And I create followers who have the same heart as mine. Let's pray. Father, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Restore, Lord, to us the joy of your salvation. And uphold us with a willing spirit to obey you and to love even our enemies for the sake of the gospel, so that we can teach transgressors your ways and so that sinners will return to you. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Let's stand and sing.